are listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It's time for another episode of International Mission 101.
Yes,
Erin,
it is.
I'm excited. What are we doing today?
So last time I told you basically about why I would be talking about the topic.
Yes. Your credentials.
And, and why you are more than qualified to talk about the topic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this time I am going to cover some of sort of the basic of how does the LCMS do mission.
Ooh.
And then also hit a couple of the questions that I've had and I've heard throughout the years. Honestly, none of the questions that we got when we were doing the poll in the lounge about what you're interested in, they're all the questions that everyone is always interested in. So there were no surprises there. So they're all stuff that everyone always wants to know about. So I'll work on a few of those during the course of this episode as well.
Cool.
So first up, how do we do mission? How does the LCMS do international mission? And so for that, if you have interviewed with me as someone who wants to go on one of our short-term mission trips, if you have interviewed with me during the course of this calendar year, you have heard some of this before because I have started including some of this in the course of the phone interviews that I do with people who want to join a team. So the LCMS, we have three foundational principles that really guide and direct the work that we are doing around the world. And it looks different in different places, but the three foundational principles are the same. And those are spread the gospel, plant Lutheran churches, and show mercy. Mm-hmm. Really, if something that we're doing doesn't either contribute directly to one of those three or more than one of those three, or basically allow one of those three to happen, so sort of the indirect contribution, then we really should be thinking carefully about, do we want to put our effort towards doing this thing if it doesn't fall into one of those three categories? So spread the gospel, plant Lutheran churches, and show mercy. With these three, we put plant Lutheran churches in the middle, not because it is second in priority. So they aren't ordered in order of importance. Mm. Rather, we put it in the middle because we think that it is central. It is the heart of the matter.
Oh.
So planting Lutheran churches is really the heart and soul of what we are doing in international mission.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the other two aren't important. They are essential as well. But they are directly tied to the goal of planting Lutheran churches. So spreading the gospel, it has to happen because faith comes by hearing. And so therefore, people need to hear the gospel. Like that's got to have that. Okay. But when someone hears the gospel, it's not that it's wasted if it's a one-time hearing, not at all. God doesn't waste stuff. But we want them to have a place where they can go and be fed.
Right.
You know, if faith has come by hearing the gospel, we want them to now have a place where they can be connected in with the body of Christ on an ongoing basis. We want them to be able to hear the word and be cared for and receive the sacrament. That means we want them to have a church. That's what we get. That's what we all love about our church is the fact that we get to go there every week and receive the goods where God promises he's going to give them to us.
Right.
Every week.
Gospel is not a one-time thing.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime of getting from God good things.
Exactly. So spreading the gospel, definitely needs to happen. But when it happens, we want them to always be pointing them back to a church. And that means we want to have Lutheran churches around the world where people can be fed. Showing mercy. We are Christians. This is what we do. You are in your community. You see something, a need, and you respond in mercy. This is who we are as Christians. It's who we should be. It's who we are. Our sinful nature fights against it, but still, this is who we are.
Right. Yeah. It's like you almost can't help it. Ken likens this kind of love to like a hyperactive child bouncing off the walls.
Gotta do it. Right. So spreading gospel and showing mercy, they contribute to the efforts of planting churches. As churches are planted, they flow out of them back into the community. So it's this nice sort of give and take, but it's all around that central point of the church in that place. Mm-hmm. So all of the work that we're doing is going to be connected in one way or another to these three principles. But it really is going to look dramatically different in different contexts. And honestly, in a way, you can see this here in the U.S. as well. It's not like this is somehow different because it's international. It just that we have different contexts there and mm-hmm. we sort of specialize in these other contexts. But really, this is about the life of the church.
Yeah.
So in Latin America, planting churches looks much different how our work is carried out there. A lot of it is connected in with equipping people in the local context to be doing the work. And actually, that's true across the world. What we are often doing is helping to train and equip and disciple people so that they can do it themselves locally instead of having the foreigner do the work. It's raising up those people who can do that. In Latin America, they have a seminary in the Dominican Republic, Seminario Concordia Reformador. And they've taken a very unique approach to their pastoral formation there, where they want the pastors, the students, to be learning how to plant churches as part, like that is part of their pastoral formation, is learning to plant churches. So rather than having a vicarage in the same mode that we do here at the LCMS in the US, they've chosen to incorporate their vicarage and field work throughout their entire study experience. So they don't take a break for a year to do only vicarage work. Mm-hmm. Instead, they do much more field work experience throughout the entire time. It ends up being that they did the math at one point, and they actually have more hours of the practical preparation that vicarage and field work gives by taking this model than our model of fieldwork and vicarage. So that was sort of interesting.
Yeah.
But with that, they are actively involved in planting churches in the Dominican Republic. So they are paired with pastors who are planting churches and learning from them how to do that. So then when they go back to the country, because this particular seminary actually serves countries in a number of places in Latin America, so when they go back to their country of origin, they already have 4 years of experience in planting churches.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
They take that and carry it on, because this is what they've taught, is this is what it looks like to be a pastor. We are planting churches. Mm-hmm. So it's super cool. In Africa, they are doing, again, it's a lot of it is connected in with seminaries and equipping our partners. It isn't our, so the seminary in the Dominican Republic is connected directly with the Lutheran mission in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
In a number of countries in Africa where we have seminaries that we are connected with, we have missionaries who are teaching there, but we are not administering the seminary. Like it's not our seminary, it's the partner seminary. So we're still involved in raising up people who are going to be leading in their local context. And through them, we are equipping them to be planting churches. It's interesting, in Africa, I was just hearing from Pastor Shawn Trump, who's the regional director for Africa, and he was talking about the work there. And he was like, we are constantly trying to catch up. And the church in Africa is constantly catching up. As soon as you have pastors, they're like, you cannot slow down the planting of churches in Africa. They're always out in front of the number of pastors. So pastors in Africa are almost always pastoring multiple congregations. There's just always a shortage, because not because pastors are declining, but because churches are growing.
Yeah.
They're multiplying faster than they can keep up with in the seminaries.
Yeah.
So they are always trying to keep out ahead of what the Holy Spirit is doing there, which is a super cool challenge.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, to an extent, sort of impossible. Like, we're never gonna catch up to the Holy Spirit. I mean, I feel like that's probably not. Maybe I'm getting into heresy, but it feels wrong. I don't think we're ever gonna catch up. I think He's always gonna be in front of us. If I'm wrong, you can let me know in the comments.
I don't think you're wrong.
So, yeah, in each of the regions, it does look different, and we take different approaches in the different regions. But a lot of what we are doing at this phase of LCMS missionary work is often working with partners, as opposed to sort of the old model that a lot of us have read stories about, of like the missionary who's going to go in. Like, this is the model of the missionary that went to India. Nather, Pastor Nather, he went there and he's like, I'm moving here with my family, and he is going to be the one that does it all. Like, there were no partners. It was starting from scratch.
Yeah.
But a lot of what we are doing is actually working with partners. And so we are in a way more supporting, as opposed to the direct one doing it. We are trying to build up and equip the local church to be doing this, because they always have the inside scoop on, right, on culture. They always get it more than the outsider does. Now, right, there's elements of culture that you can see more clearly as an outsider, but there's also a much larger component that you'll never fully get as the outsider. And so, not trying to make it center around the missionary as the most important part in the partnership means that we're always working with partners for this. That also gets to, how do we decide where to go? Like, what makes us decide to start work in a place? Sometimes, I mean, honestly, the short answer is really, we go where the Lord opens the door. So sometimes the door is open, and sometimes the door is closed. And so that's sort of the straightforward answer in a way. But how do we determine if the door is open? One of the things that we think is pretty important is, can we work in that place legally?
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. So we want to be working in a country and operating there legally, because we know that it takes generations for a church to grow from the planting stage at the very beginning to a fully functioning independent church body. Mm-hmm. If we start and then get kicked out because we've been working illegally, then we've sort of left them high and dry. That's a hard thing to do. Yeah. And so, and I'm not saying, okay, attention. I am honestly saying, I have no knowledge that we have been kicked out of a country before. Okay. That wasn't an example. I'm not saying, I truly, we're probably going to cut that part.
I hope we don't, actually.
I know of no times when we have been kicked out of a country because we've been operating illegally.
We don't do that.
That is not how we do it. But I will say that it has gotten more complicated to work legally in a country in recent years.
Yes.
And there's been a few key markers along the way. One was 9/11.
Yeah.
After 9/11, things got more complicated. And in the years following, it started getting more complicated to move money internationally.
Oh.
Moving money across borders. There's a lot more legality to it than there used to be. It's sobering, the things that, like, I didn't realize. But anyway, I have to every now and then sign off on like, yes, I agree to these sort of things. And there's some legal things in there. Like moving money illegally, if you're doing it wrong, you can unintentionally be supporting terrorist organizations with the best of intention. Like, you don't even know that that is the case.
Right.
That is still, that's a big problem. Wow. You would be in serious legal troubles, and it doesn't matter that you didn't mean to.
Ooh.
So moving money has gotten harder.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and I think we also see that sometimes when we go into a country, it's perfectly fine, dandy, and legal for us to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes situations on the ground can change.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So one of the things that, therefore, the challenge is, not only can we move money into the country, can we have people staying there legally? Like, what's our legal reason for being in the country?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of countries that are like, sure, come in on a tourist visa and stay as long as you like.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we want you to have a different reason.
Yeah.
And so we need to be able to have people in that country legally if we're going to actually have people living there.
Right.
Now, we do sometimes work in a place where we don't have people living, and so that's a different situation. But if we're going to have missionaries living in the country, then we want them to be able to live there legally. Yeah. So before we're opening up work in a place, we need to consider, how are we going to get them a visa? How are they going to be able to stay in this place? So those are some complicated things that are part of the decision of, can we actually get through this door that we think is open, that we think the Lord has opened? Can we find a way? Because sometimes it looks like the door is open, but maybe it's a glass door and it's like the door, it's not open. Not yet.
Yeah.
It's worth mentioning that it's not that we don't care about souls of the people in these countries that we can't get to.
Right.
But we recognize that God is in control of this whole process and will open the doors that he wants us to go through. Like, even in the example of Paul's missionary journeys, we have examples of him saying, I think I'll go here. And then the Holy Spirit saying, no, you're going somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yep. And so we try to follow that. Not out of a lack of love or concern.
the Lord keeps saying no. So that's part of the process of determining, where can we go and work? So do we have an invitation there? Are there partners there? Can we build on something? Or is it a case of we're starting from scratch? So there is still some of that. The Dominican Republic was, in a lot of ways, a place starting from scratch. There was not a Lutheran presence in the Dominican Republic before we started working there almost 25 years ago.
Yeah. I was gonna say, that's really amazing because that's the hub now.
It is.
So that's really cool to see how that's really matured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in a lot of places, so for example, in Africa, there are multiple church bodies there that are like tremendously larger than the LCMS.
True.
Africa is enormous.
Yeah.
So
it's huge.
We aren't starting from scratch there. There are partners there. We don't want to come in and say, this is how it is.
Yeah.
You got to do it this way. There are already church bodies that dwarf us there. And yet many of them are like saying to us, come and work with us. We would love for, can you teach us? Can you teach at our seminaries? We want to work with you for this.
Yeah.
So there are opportunities. it's a complicated thing. One of the things that people were asking is, how do we have any markers that we use for success? Hmm. And success in the church is often a very hard thing to measure. Like, how do you measure that? That's a tricky prospect.
Yeah.
So we do have some markers that we use. They aren't necessarily going to be, I don't know, maybe they'll be satisfying. But anyway, I brought with me today.
Ooh.
The OIM dashboard.
Ah.
We update this usually on a monthly basis, and it has some of the key statistics, we'll call them the key performance indicators.
KPIs!
KPIs, yes. It has some of our key performance indicators that we use to just sort of keep, it doesn't tell us if we are succeeding or not, but it does help us get an idea of where things are at. And it does give us information when they change, because they are tied to that. So one of the things that we track on a regular basis is, how many missionaries do we have? So as of May 1st, which is the most recent OIM dashboard, we're recording this on the 9th. So as of May 1st, we have 92 missionaries serving around the world, and also 15 alliance missionaries.
Uh-huh.
There are 343, our total missionary population. So when you include families, so spouses who are not part of the 92, if they're employed, then they count as part of the 92. If they are what we call an accompanying spouse, then they're part of this total population, or any of the children that are accompanying the parents because they're still living at home. So our total population is 343 people.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. Alliance missionaries are one of the things that actually I said, we know that it takes generations for a church body to grow from initial seeds planted to a mature, independent church body. And I think I always stop myself and, like, I don't know, I struggle with the word independent, partly because I know how much we as Americans, we love the independence. Like, yeah. It's a part of our blood.
we are America.
Close. Yeah, we are. America. I'm going to pioneer. I'm out on the homestead.
I don't need nobody.
By myself. Yes. That's not, and like it is, it's part of our culture that we value this so highly. And it does seep into our church as well. Yeah. Not always in a good way, because the Bible doesn't actually say that we're supposed to be independent.
Actually, now that you mention it,
the Bible doesn't say that we are supposed to be independent. We are supposed to grow up, yes. But independent there's a lot of baggage there. And so we think of it often as this like good thing. And yet that's not exactly what scripture talks about, or at least it's more nuanced than the American idea, surprise, of independence. And so alliance missionaries are an example of a lovely, we're going to call it interdependence, that we have between the LCMS and some other church bodies, wherein these other church bodies, Brazil is sort of the poster child for this.
IELB.
IELB.
Igreja Luterana do Brasil.
Ah, you've interviewed some of these.
I have. Yes. Well, I love that. And the reason why I'm learning Portuguese. Oh, yeah. That's sweet.
So this is a church body that was planted almost 125 years ago by LCMS missionaries.
Yeah.
Generations have gone by. They are now to the point where they are eager to be sending their own missionaries, but they're not quite to the point of sending them and fully supporting it with all the finances and being able to provide all the insurance and all of that that goes with being able to support missionaries. There's a lot that goes into supporting missionaries around the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we are partnering with them and they are sending missionaries, and those missionaries then are working alongside our missionaries in countries around the world, in Africa, in Latin America. At this point, also in Europe. I thought for a second that it was only in Latin America and Africa. However, actually they've moved into Eurasia as well.
Nice.
So they have these missionaries that are working, and we don't have the missionary. If we did not have these alliance missionaries there, we would not be able to be working in places like Spain, yeah. South Africa. There are a number of places where we have alliance missionaries serving where we do not have LCMS missionaries currently there. There are other places where alliance missionaries are working side by side with LCMS missionaries. But if we didn't have the alliance missionaries, we would be able to do less because we don't have those are spots we are not able to fill with LCMS missionaries at this point. We are dependent on Brazil and some other church bodies to provide those missionaries. So it is this lovely interdependence that's happening in the Alliance Missionary Program. So we count them on our dashboard.
Yeah.
We count them as part of our personnel. They come to our retreats. They are part of our budget. We're supporting them in that way. But they are a key part of our strategy. And it's a cool way to see how we are depending on, it's a partnership in a new way with these church bodies from around the world to see that part growing. So that is, I think that's a cool aspect. It's the Alliance Missionary Program has been around for, I should look it up. I don't remember. It might be around 20 years now.
Wow.
Our longest serving Alliance missionary is, I believe, Pastor Obat Ite in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And he is actually a missionary from the church in Nigeria.
Yeah.
So super cool. And I think he has been serving for around 20 years.
Wow. I remember hearing his name like a long time ago. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's really grown. The Alliance Missionary Program has grown. It has a name now. It didn't have a name when he started. He was functioning as an Alliance Missionary without having the name of Alliance Missionary. But it's really grown in the last 5 years or so, I think, is when it's really started taking off to the extent that it is today. Another question that people often ask about is, of our missionaries, do we only send pastors? And this is a super common question. People ask it all the time. And so I'm here to tell you it's on our dashboard. I can tell you our current breakdown. No, we do not only send pastors. We don't send only rostered workers either. So of the employed missionaries, so of the 92 plus the 15, so that gives us 107 employed missionaries when we add our LCMS missionaries with the Alliance missionaries together. Of that group, 55% of them are ordained.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually take out the Alliance missionaries, all of the Alliance missionaries are ordained.
Yeah.
They're all pastors. If you remove that 15, then it's actually 48% of the missionaries are pastors.
Yeah.
Then of the balance, it's a split almost equally between rostered church workers, which could mean Lutheran teacher, it could mean DCE, it could mean deaconess, any of the rostered positions, split equally between rostered and lay people, which for the layman, in lay people's terms, lay in our church body means you don't have a call. So rostered workers have a call, and lay workers do not get a formal call. And this gets into tricky language in how we talk about things. And the LCMS has a very clearly defined. Well, sometimes it's more clear than others what the term call means, yeah. But there is a distinct meaning to it, mm-hmm. as far as that goes. So 55% are pastors, and then the balance of that, it's split. 23% are rostered, 22% are lay.
Yeah.
And if you split it down and take out the Alliance missionaries, then it ends up being 48% are pastors. And then you have 27 and 25% for the lay people.
Yeah.
Non-ordained missionaries. So anyway, it is a mix as far as the missionary population.
So you don't just take pastors. Do you take anybody?
We do not take anybody. I'll tell you that. And I sort of anticipate that I have in mind that a future Mission 101 episode is actually going to be, I kind of think it might be nice to really dig into, maybe talk with one of our missionary recruiters.
Yeah.
On what is it? What do we look for in missionaries? How do you become a missionary? Because I have my own experience of what I have, but that was 25 years ago, and the process has changed. So yeah. I feel like that is something that I do want to talk about in more detail in a future episode. But one thing I did want to highlight now, that is another question, and we do not on our dashboard have a count of men versus women in our missionary breakdown or in the dashboard. However, I do get people who ask me, are there women missionaries? Yes, there are. I'm here to tell you. So I, in my role as the director of short term, I work very closely with a group of 6 missionaries in regions around the world who all have, as part of their position responsibilities, the coordination and the planning and hosting for volunteers. They are volunteer coordinators. Mm-hmm. And while in previous years, that group has not been all women, at the moment, that group is all women. So I work very closely with 6 women on a regular basis in my work. They're really cool ladies. They right now are coming from... We don't have an identified person serving as a volunteer coordinator for Asia. So jumping the gun on the future missionary recruitment podcast, if you think, wow, I'd love to work with Aaron as a volunteer coordinator, then we actually are looking for volunteer coordinators in Asia, in Africa, actually in a number of places. So there are opportunities that you could consider. But I work super closely with these ladies. They're cool ladies. They're about half of them are lay people. Half of them have some sort of rostered background. I believe, one is actually currently studying to be a deaconess. And so she is in a distance program working on her deaconess degree. Looking at you, Sarah.
Hey!
Soon to join a different program, but still similar goal. And then 2 others have teacher backgrounds. And then the other 3 come from a variety of backgrounds as mm-hmm. they're now serving on the mission field. Those are just the ones that I happen to work super closely with. There's a lot of other ladies who serve as missionaries. So you'll actually get to hear, if you're at the LWML convention in June, you get to hear from 2 of our missionaries. One of them is one of those ladies I mentioned who I work super closely with, Chelsea Irwin.
Chelsea!
She is going to be speaking to the group as a whole. And then the other one is one of our all-time longest serving missionaries and might actually be the longest serving missionary. In fact, she is. I'm not even might. She is our longest serving missionary, and that is Deaconess Carol Halter.
She's been on the field for ages.
I know.
Wow. It's longer than I've been alive. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it is longer than you've been alive.
Which is wild.
It's amazing. So those 2 are going to be, and Chelsea is one of our, honestly, in the big picture, she's one of the youngest missionaries. Yeah. So you get the gamut. here. It's going to be great. So if you're going to be at the LWML convention, you will get to hear them and talk with them. I encourage you to ask them questions as well about their experience as missionaries. But again, yes, we send ladies as missionaries and we send Lutheran ladies as missionaries.
Yeah.
And they do great work. And it's a pleasure to work with them. And I've really enjoyed being able to be part of that.
Yeah.
So
we talk with a lot of missionaries on the coffee hour too. Mm-hmm. So if you're mm-hmm. interested in hearing a lot more missionary stories,
oh yeah,
whenever there's missionaries Definitely. Back on Reconnect, and honestly, we've been doing a lot more remote now, just uh-huh. talking with missionaries on the field.
Yeah.
Look at the coffee hour episodes. We'll link something in the show notes so you can find it a little bit easier. But we love talking with missionaries.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are lay missionaries too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we mm-hmm. talk with a lot of pastors, a lot yeah. of theological educators, yeah. but also like the business managers who are yeah. super important Indeed. To making sure right? everything runs smoothly, and the volunteer coordinators. Yeah. So a lot of those stories are online if you want to listen to more from them.
Yeah. And I wanted to address, because I do often hear the question of, do you send only pastors? Do you send only men? So I did want to address that. I don't want to minimize the importance of pastors as missionaries.
Right.
For planting Lutheran churches, we want to have pastors serving. Like, this is yeah. important.
Yes.
And honestly, I think our balance of about half and half is a nice balance.
Yeah.
I think we've been holding it around this percentage for quite some time now. And I think it's a good balance. So we are always looking for pastors to serve, but we are also always looking for lay people to serve as well. So it's a both and, not an either or situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just like any other church setting. You really need pastors, yeah. but you can't have exactly. just pastors.
Right. Right.
It's the body of Christ.
Yes.
It's the body of Christ, man.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, any thoughts that you guys have? I did more of a lecture.
I would love a future episode. Obviously, this uh-huh. is too big of a question.
Yeah.
I would love in a future episode to hear from an insider's perspective on what you look for in a career missionary.
Yeah.
What are the skills and attributes and attitudes? And mm-hmm. I think we could spend a lot of time discussing what makes, you know, a missionary.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that would be a great episode. And I've been contemplating, like, I think that would be an excellent conversation. So yes, that is going to be one of the future topics.
Because I know there's someone out there who every time these episodes come uh-huh. on, uh-huh. thinks to herself,
yes.
uh-huh. I wonder
yes.
if this is something that I could do and that maybe uh-huh. God is calling me to do. Uh-huh. And I think some more information to help that discernment process
yep.
would probably be
yeah.
useful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm always curious about mercy work too, because mm-hmm. that's the mm-hmm. other yeah, one of those
exactly.
three. Because I mean, a lot of it, like the same types of things can happen, but I imagine that it looks a little bit different
yeah.
in the different regions around mm-hmm. the world, just different needs.
I would be interested to hear what mercy work looks like nowadays, because you know, when mm-hmm. I was a kid in the 80s and we were on the mission field working at a mission hospital, which I don't think we have any mission hospitals anymore, do we?
I am unaware of any.
Right. Obviously, that is an area in which
somewhere, but yeah.
Our missions have evolved mm-hmm. in the yeah. last 30 mm-hmm. years. As doors have closed and doors have opened and
yeah.
the world situation has changed, and I would be very interested to hear that too. Sarah, what does our mercy work look like overseas mm-hmm. nowadays?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. Well,
cool.
Excellent future topics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm learning a lot from this series.
Yeah. And
I look forward to future installments.
Uh-huh.
Me too. Thanks, Erin.
You're welcome.
Ladies, if you have questions for Erin, things you'd like to know, your own missionary stories, we'd love to hear them in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge. Be sure to comment on this episode. You can also comment on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. We'll have some follow-up posts after this episode drops. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas and questions and stories, all of those things. You can find all of our episodes at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge, or on your favorite podcasting app, or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give.